Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Question: what's the only show that showcases Newark's sporting talent? The show where they are the true stars and we play the best music. On tonight's show, two of our special friends return to Sport Towers tonight. Richard and Rachel Sheldrake tell us about their latest exploits, which for some reason includes cycling up Lednam Hill. Climbing up there in the car. And I finally found out what aqua running is all about. And no, I am not going to have a go at it. Well, no, you wouldn't know, it's sport. Amber returns to competitive running this weekend. She tells us our air preparations have been going on and updates us on all the Newark Athletic Club gossip, including the first round of the Sports Hall League for the Tiny Tots. And we find out if our squash players survived that 24-hour squash-a-thon. Poor Drury obviously didn't, because it's Dave Grant that's going to join us tonight at 7:50. I think Paul's still sleeping it off. Or Lincoln could be at home. He's getting his priorities right. I'm Mick Bradley. He's not Scottish anymore. And this is Radio Newark Sport. Coming up. Did you see the demise of Wales last night, where Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, Forrest thrown through, would have made Brian Clough so proud? They went away, defended for 90 minutes, snatched a goal and come away with it. Oh yes, the boss would have been so proud of them. But at the end of it, did you see the little boy in the Welsh outfit crying his eyes out? Absolutely. Probably didn't know why he was crying, but he was crying. So, the question for our guest and for his lordship here tonight is that, is sport important enough to make you cry? And has sport ever made you cry? And while you all think about that one, let's do the local headlines. Tom Marshall continued his excellent recent form in Sunday's York 10-miler. He finished 8th overall with a time of 58 minutes and 49 seconds. Bailey Sugden is another man in form and he convincingly won his latest fight at the Road to Glory event on Saturday evening at Grantham. And all the rugby eyes this weekend was on Newark Rugby Club's junior sides. The Colts played Mellish on Friday night. You know, playing rugby, playing any sport under floodlights is brilliant. Really enjoyed that one. Not sure Mellish enjoyed it. They had 66 points put past them and they couldn't manage any in reply before the referee said enough's enough. And a big win too for the under-14s. They scored 57 points against Syston to prove that all's well in Newark Junior Rugby.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Ladies first. Good evening, Rachel.
Good evening.
You probably didn't see this lad last night. I mean, he was absolutely distraught, crying on his dad's shoulder that Wales had been beaten. I'm not sure at that age he knew the full implications of it all, but anyway, he was distraught. So, question one was, is sport important enough to make you cry over it?
I think, yes, I think it can be. I've cried over sport, that's for sure. Yeah. Probably on several occasions. And most usually when I've not wanted to carry on for some reason. Usually because something's been long or painful or both. So, the best example I can think of was on my bike in a Ironman distance triathlon in Norway, when I had about another 25 miles to go and I was going up a steep mountain pass, and I just decided I couldn't do it anymore, so I got off my bike and I stood and I cried by the side of the road. And then it suddenly dawned on me that actually, unless I actually got on my bike and rode further up the hill to tell someone that I was going to stop, there was actually, I was going to be stuck on the side of this hill for some considerable time.
We've read, sort of putting the serious hat on for a couple of minutes, we've read and heard in the week that three big sportsmen have been found for taking cocaine. Three people fairly near the top of their sport. And I'm saying this is sport enough to make you cry. Sport obviously is important enough for them. And that, was that an outlet for them to do that? I mean, I think they're crazy and they've admitted that they shouldn't have done it and all that, but that was an outlet for them. But physically and emotionally, it does get to you, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think particularly if you've got something that you have trained really, really hard for and that you want to achieve, and just the, you know, the pure stress of that alone can be enough to make you cry. Never mind if you, you know, you get to a point in an event where you think, actually, maybe I'm not actually going to achieve what I wanted to, be that, you know, not reach the finish or not reach it in the time that you'd wanted to, then yes, it can, you know, especially when you're tired as well, if it's a long event, and you get to a point where it's quite easy to break down in tears and things. I think I've seen plenty of people cry in events.
Now this is the difference, Tony, because we've got two doers and two watchers here tonight, haven't we? So,
yeah.
Rachel said she's broke down through sheer exhaustion when it's become apparent that she cannot go on any further. We're different because we watch sport. Now, I know what you're like. You'll cry if the cat's late coming over. I know that.
Can't get me started.
But I was trying to think tonight when it's got to me. And it goes back to the rugby club girls every time.
Oh, God, yeah.
It really does. When they won the national championship, but more to the point, the Victoria situation. Okay. And that gets to me every single time. Now that's probably bordering on not sport or sport, I don't know. It's connected with sport. The Bradford City Fire, I mean, you broke down on this show.
On air, yeah.
Talking about the Bradford City Fire.
Yeah.
Because of your connections.
Well, that goes beyond sport.
Yes.
But I cried when Terry Cooper broke his leg for Leeds United against West Ham in 1970.
Who was he tackling?
It will have been trying to kick somebody,
yeah,
but,
yeah, exactly.
But I
remember, dirty leads.
And I also cried when I crossed the line in my first Newark half marathon in the middle of the marketplace, which was well embarrassing. But I just couldn't help it. Just the adrenaline, the pure buzz and the sense of achievement. It was just magnificent.
Now, I think that, you know, certain people can do anything in sport, and, you know, they can walk mountains and ride up sheer cliff faces on a cycle and cycle for hundreds and hundreds of miles and it doesn't get to them and they just seem to go on and on and on. Richard. Does it get to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can talk as a doer as well as a watcher. I mean, the watching first, probably when Des Walker scored the own goal for Tottenham to win the 1991 FA Cup final, you know, as a Forest fan. Now, that was an absolute choker.
I was still complaining that Gascoigne hadn't been sent off.
Yes, well, don't get me started on that.
We haven't got enough time for that one.
No. Yes. So, you know, that was an absolute choker because Forest had had a fantastic cup run. Yes, they'd struggled past, you know, Crystal Palace in two replays. You know, they struggled past Newcastle, you know, et cetera, on the way. But, you know, flew through the semi-final with the help of the referee sending Tony Gale off. And for it all to go so badly wrong in the final on the big day was absolutely heartbreaking. But then I guess that prepares you for a lifetime of misery being a Forest fan. In terms of the doing, I mean, I can relate to what Rachel was talking about. You know, when the going gets really tough in events, that can make you emotional, but I tend to sort of hold it together more during the event, and then actually if you achieve a good time or a good result or whatever, then, you know, it hits you. So, you know, I've sort of got back from events, you know, I've sort of been running it through in my mind, sort of driving home, and got home and then been sort of quite emotional when I've been telling Rachel about what I've achieved. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely gets to me as well.
It's interesting. I mean, I was at Hillsborough. You was probably at Hillsborough?
Not at the Hillsborough game,
I was at that match, but it didn't affect me until the next day.
Mm.
And then I just sort of, it dawned, and I can't understand that really, but it sort of got to me 24 hours after the event. On the afternoon, it was, you know, I was more bothered that the game wasn't going to get played, but the next day, when realism actually hit, what you'd seen, because I'd never seen anybody dead before, you know, and it was, I don't, everybody's different, aren't they, Richard? It affects everybody differently, but I did feel for that lad last night. He got no control over that football match whatsoever, but he was absolutely devastated.
You shouldn't try supporting Scotland.
But I think therein lies the problem that, you know, Wales set the bar so high 2 years ago, you know, with the run to the semi-finals of the European Championships, and that little lad hasn't actually known failure before, because, you know, failure to qualify before 2016, you know, was before his lifetime. So, you know, that would have hit him hard, and, you know, I think his dad's going to have to explain to him that, you know, it might be, you know, if they're on this 58-year cycle of qualification...
It could be as old as your dad's.
Sorry, Auntie Welsh.
It's going to be a long time. Don't worry, we had a go at Scots last night.
Yeah, after all the abuse I got for Scotland's demise, we overlooked one very important thing, the Berwick Rangers performance at the weekend.
Oh, I missed that.
Hmm.
And this is a sports show.
It's a cracking result. They didn't have a game.
That's about the best result they've had all season.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's up there.
Right. Local. When I last saw you, you'd just done a part run, and you was off for the last of the Lincoln Wheelers events of the season, which for some unearthly reason was meaning you was going to cycle up Leadenham Hill.
Yes, you make it sound like a mountain, Nick.
It is!
Well, I think the bare stats, I mean, we're talking about the road from the traffic lights up the hill out towards the new bypass. So it was the main road through Leadenham before the bypass was built. So I think the bare stats of the actual course is 0.7 of a mile and about 180 feet of ascent. And actually, it's a fairly steady gradient. So the whole point is that you basically race up it as fast as you can. And it just gets more and more painful as you go up, depending on how well you've paced it. But in the grand scheme of things, because it's Lincolnshire, the hill isn't very big. I mean, I've got another event coming up this weekend in the Lake District where I'm racing up Winlatter Pass.
They do have hills there.
They do have hills there, yes. Yeah. So, you know, that's going to be considerably bigger. And I'm also considering in 2 weeks' time entering another hill climb up in the Peak District. So I don't know whether you've heard of Bank Road in Matlock, but that's where the National Hill Climb was held last year, and that is like a wall. So, you know, that's shorter but steeper, an alternative on the same day, because some of these nutters will actually do more than one event in a day. So they'll ride at 1 at 10 o'clock, possibly have a pint to recover, and then do another one at 2 o'clock. But yeah, the other alternative is to go up Ryber, which is...
Ryber Castle.
Yes. Ryber Castle, which is also hellishly steep and painful. So I've got to decide by midnight tonight if I'm entering online which one I do.
I'm glad it was you that chose the word, that chose the word nutters.
Is it? Our young cyclists that come on here always prefer cyclocross because they can get muddy and, you know, it's great fun in all the mud. You seem to relish in going up sort of... big hills.
I've ridden quite a lot of hills in the past, not necessarily racing up them. You know, I've ridden sportives in the Lake District and things like that, but I just wanted to challenge myself to something different. You know, quite a lot of my racing is on the flats, on, you know, sort of faster roads with more traffic, etc. So to do hill climbs, it's a different branch of the sport, and, you know, a different challenge and a different type of pain.
And this is literally challenging yourself, isn't it? It is, whatever time you get, great, but it is you against the ability to do it.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's it is definitely mind over matter, because you know, your brain is, well, your legs are screaming at your brain saying, stop, stop, this is hurting too much. And your brain's saying, well, you're not at the top yet, keep going. And, you know, it's those two little voices inside your head that you're trying to battle to get to the top.
You know, I've got news coming in all the time here. It's a news desk, this is. Before we go any further, cricket, because I think at the end of the day, it would be interesting to know, football, cycling, running, cricket, which goes at the top of that little list?
Well, earlier we were talking about doers and watchers. Not my ability to actually play the game of cricket is very limited. You know, I've sort of done a bit of coaching of my son from a small age, but in terms of playing for teams, you know, I've been fairly useless. But I absolutely love watching cricket, and obviously a Notts and an England fan, so very good season for Notts.
Okay, so we haven't got long on cricket, because it's about you two tonight, not about Notts, but Ben Stokes.
In
2 minutes.
Very difficult situation. The lad has clearly got a hell of a lot of talents. He's also, you know, a very sort of fiery character, and I just think he's been incredibly naive that, you know, he's gone out for a night out in the middle of a series, so it wasn't even after the last game. Obviously, Alex Hales was with him as well, and we don't know all the details. All we know is the video we've seen, and he has behaved like an absolute muppet. I don't doubt there was some provocation, but, you know, the bottom line is that as a top sports star, you have to walk away. You know, you can't get embroiled in that sort of thing. The Ashes away from home is a momentous challenge as it is, and it now looks highly likely that he's not going to be on the plane. So,
Chris Reid.
Yes, well, Rachel will tell you I'm a massive Chris Reid fan. He is Mr. Notts, you know, having come up from Gloucestershire. And I've basically sort of grown up with Chris Reid, watching Chris Reid. And to me, Chris Reid was, his whole career was epitomised by that final inning century at Sussex. Notts were massively behind the eight.
If Notts had lost that game, they wouldn't be promoted, would they?
No.
That's how important that was.
Exactly. You know, Sussex had put over 500 on the board. Notts were staring down the barrel at 120-odd for five. Him and Billy Root, Joe Root's younger brother, come together. They both hit centuries. They get past the follow-on point, and they guarantee the draw that sends them up. The irony being that Northants got docked 5 points for a slow over rate, trying to cheat their way to a draw at Trent Bridge. That eventually cost Northants promotion. Believe it or not.
The interesting one, if I got this one right as well, didn't that crossbow incident at Middlesex cost them relegation?
Yeah, that's
because they got docked 2 points or something. Because of the slow over rate?
That's right, and they're trying to appeal to the ECB.
That does seem a bit harsh, actually, because the game didn't finish. But anyway, first question when I come back is Rachel a cricket lover? But coming up first, it's Amber time. Tuesday, 7:20, Radio New at Sport. Can only mean one thing. The wonderful Amber Owens. Amber, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
And I know somebody who's having a birthday at the end of the month.
Yes, so do I.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, I hope the Radio New York Sports presenters will get some cake.
Oh, they might do if they're lucky.
Very good, excellent. Right, Amber joins us as ever from the training facilities on the Grove Fields there, so we don't try and keep her too long, else she misses out on her running. Little bits to talk about, Amber. The Sports All League, something I don't know a lot about, but it's for the under-9s, under-11s and under-13s. And it was they was taking star showing on Sunday.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, it was the second Sports Hall of, like, this year, so. And there was, because usually at the end you have a relay. And it can be an obstacle relay or it can be a normal relay, but I think it was the first obstacle relay. And hang on, Oh, and basically...
she needs a torch now, you see. It's getting dark.
Sorry. There was a few second places and a PV for Ava in shot.
Brilliant.
And everything was done with, like... Because basically, as well, they had hurdle... They had a hurdle... They had... Oh, I can't even get my words out. Right, they had a parlas to do as well, an 8-lap parlas. And obviously, some of the younger ones, they'd never done that before. So they had to do... Obviously, you have to do... I think it's... So it's 8 laps, so you could do maybe 4 and 4, or you have to do 2, 2, 2, 2, and some of them had to do it, and obviously they'd never done it before, but apparently they all handled it really well. So, yeah, it was a really good day.
Did you do Sports Hall League in your day?
Yeah, I did Sports Hall when I did it.
Enjoy it?
Yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, sometimes some of the things I didn't necessarily want to do, but I did them, like, for the team, so it's quite... It's more like a team event, and you do everything... You know, you're asked to do kind of thing, and it's kind of a time where you can practice loads of different events.
Do you feel old? Do you feel old, Anne? Because you can't do the Sports Hall League, you can't do the Notts Mini Cross Country League anymore.
Yeah, I know. I feel really old.
The York 10K. Tim Bagley was on home territory, and Lee Braithwaite was also there. And I'm told that Carl from Newark Athletic Club was running as well. Our man on the spot, Mr. Bagley's just got round to telling me.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Bagley, he got a new PB, I think. I think it was 1 hour and 4 minutes and 55 seconds. So he just got under an hour and five, so that's really good.
Excellent stuff, excellent.
Yeah.
And this weekend, it's a weekend that I think you've been waiting for, because it's been a long time since you was competitively running, but it all changes again this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the first North Mid, and that's on Saturday. So that's, like, for all ages. It can go from, like, I think it's under-11s or under-13s to, like, the adults. So my dad's running, and I'm running, and the twins are running. Obviously, I move up in an age group. I'm under 20, so I'll be running with the ladies as well.
So it's going to be a harder year for you then this year, Amber?
Yeah, I think so, because I've moved up an age group, and then the women are with us as well. So it's going to be quite hard to know where I am in the race, because obviously women are in a different category.
Right, so you're all in the same race, but then you sort of categorise. That's difficult.
Yeah, and it's a really hard course because it's really hilly. There's a massive hill in it, and I'm doing 2 laps. So I've got to do the massive hill twice, so it's going to be exciting.
So whereabouts is this event?
It's Markeaton Park. I think it's in Derby.
Oh, you got to come back with a win from Derby. No, everybody's got to go to Derby and win.
Yeah.
And the best of luck to you in that, because next week you can tell us all about it. I think you've been... It's been a long time, hasn't it, since you've really competitively raced? It's been too long.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a good couple of months, and obviously we had a big break between track and cross country. It has been a long time. But yeah, I can't wait, to be honest.
You can't wait.
I love track season, but it goes on for a long time. By the time you get to the end, you know, you want to get started in cross country. Same with cross country. When you finish, it's like, oh, I need to do some track races.
Well, keep us informed, and then you can tell everybody next Tuesday night how you, Dad, the twins, and everybody else from Newark AC got on. I've got to leave you with one quote that Gareth asked me to say, and it's come from Frank Dick, the former head coach of British Athletes. If losing doesn't hurt, then winning doesn't matter.
Oh, that's a good quote.
That's quite good, that, isn't it? I like that one.
Yeah.
If losing doesn't hurt, then winning doesn't matter. So on that note... Go on.
I was going to say, I guess if you always win, it doesn't really mean anything, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's not good to always win. Everybody has to suffer defeat every now and again.
Yeah.
But you're not going to suffer defeat in Derby. I know that.
I hope not.
I'm not. Amber, good training session tonight, and the best of luck at the weekend to all the family and all at Newark AC.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
The wonderful Amber Owens. Amber talks to us every single Tuesday night, and she's gone from a nervous young lady who didn't really want to do it to somebody now who just takes it in a stride.
Can I just say on that point, the only man that said that there's nothing wrong with defeat was Nelson Mandela's chiropodist.
And on that note, Radio New York Sport.
Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
Okay, if I can stop laughing long enough, these are the national headlines. And after last night, I was told by the management, I've got to leave off Scotland a little bit. No more Scotland bashing, they said. So we'll start with Scotland have slipped back to third place in the World Cricket Championship following a 5-wicket defeat to Papua New Guinea. Well, there you go. They can't even beat a beach in the middle of nowhere. The Scots failed to see off their 50 overs, being bowled out for 203. Matthew Cross, 91, was the only batsman to pass 22 runs. Papua New Guinea lost 2 wickets in 4 balls to 4 for 44 for 2. But they went on and won. All that means the Netherlands, with 3 matches to play, lead the table with 18 points, 2 ahead of Papua New Guinea. That's a new low, isn't it, Mr. McSmith? Nottinghamshire paceman Matt Mills has signed a 1-year deal with the club. The 23-year-old was given a 3-month contract in June and has yet to make his first team appearance. The reason I'm saying this, he's a Notts lad and they've now put him under contract. A Notts lad doing well at his home county club. Wales manager Chris Coleman is not thinking about his future after failing to qualify for the World Cup. Monday's 1-0 defeat against the Republic ended the Welsh hopes of the 2018 finals in Russia. He previously said that this campaign would be his last, but he's going away on holiday to think about it. The Republic of Ireland manager Martin O'Neill was so proud of his players after they beat Wales. James McLean struck the 57th minute winner in Cardiff to ensure they finished second in Group D. The players were magnificent, playing away to a very good Welsh side. And they played just like Forest did. Yes.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Papua New Guinea. Come on.
They're a very underestimated side.
I tell you what, that took some finding.
But thank you anyway.
That's no problem, Mr. McSmith. Are you a cricket watcher, Rachel? Does he drag you to Trent Bridge or sort of do you go willingly?
I have become a cricket watcher. When I first met Richard, I had never watched cricket. I knew nothing about it, but in my head I thought it was probably the most tedious, boring sport in the world. But having seen Richard's love for cricket and enthusiasm, and the same for his son James, who was only little at the time, I gradually started to watch a bit and to understand what was going on. It took me quite a while to even begin to have any kind of understanding of what was happening in a match. But gradually, over the years of constantly asking all the terminology, every time I watch a match, there's always some new phrase that comes up that I have to say, what does that mean? What's that? And now I quite enjoy it, actually. Yeah, so I don't go to watch it very often, but when I do, I enjoy it. I think the most I've watched is a 40-over game. Mm. I don't think I'm up for a test match yet.
It helps when the sun's shining.
It does. It helps when it's a lovely evening at Trent Bridge. Then, yeah, I quite enjoy it, and I understand enough now of what's going on.
You see, you're not the only one, Tony, that has to ask what's going on to a cricket match.
Yeah, but I'm in a white coat.
People have said for a long time you should be in a white coat. Rachel, Mud and Miles and aqua running and a wonderful trip to the Peak District where everybody seemed to be really enjoying themselves. Where do you want to start?
Oh, let's start with the aqua running, because I know you're particularly interested in the aqua running.
I've seen numerous pictures of it. I even put it on our Facebook site as your sort of promo for tonight's...
Yes, I noticed that.
For tonight's show. And
is this why Richard said he wanted to see me in Speedos?
That's right.
I tend to sink. So,
yeah, take him.
Explain.
Right, okay, so aqua running is literally that. It's running in water. So you basically you do it in the deep end of the swimming pool, and you wear a special flotation belt that goes around your waist. So it's slightly more shaped than a sort of normal swimming float, and it's curved, so it actually sits in the small of your back, and it's got a webbing belt, so you wear that around you, and that basically helps you to stay upright in the water. It helps you to be vertical, And then basically you literally get in the water and you run exactly as you would outside with one. You do exactly the same arm motions, exactly the same leg motions, but obviously against the resistance of the water. So you've got nothing underneath your feet apart from water, and you're having to essentially push yourself through the water to make it to go forwards. So it's incredibly hard work, because to go even a very short distance you have to work against the resistance of the water. So when people come along for the first time, I try and pre-warn them and say to them, this is going to be really hard. If you do it properly, you're going to be exhausted. And they're like, oh, yeah, I understand. And then at the end, they're red in the face and saying, "So I didn't realise it'd be that hard."
The fact it's the belt's keeping you vertical.
Yeah.
That stops you moving through the water then. Because naturally, if you're making a movement, aren't you going to be pushed forward?
No, the belt doesn't stop you. It doesn't stop you from moving, because it's, I mean, the actual sort of foam bit is behind your back. So,
but it keeps you vertical.
Does that keep you in one place? The belt helps you to stay vertical. It doesn't keep you there totally, but it helps you to stay upright. So you've got, and because you are upright, you've got a lot of resistance against the water. So you have to move your arms and legs a lot. You move them faster, but you have to put a lot more effort into it than you do to actually move forward when you're running through air, because obviously there's not
your arms are going to be if you're at the deep end, your arms are underwater as well, they're not.
Your head and neck is at the tops of your very tops of your shoulders are out of the water, but apart from that your arms are in the water, so you're essentially pushing the water back with every arm movement. And the faster you can do that, then the further, you know, the faster you can move forwards.
Well, the only way I can sort of think about it is you're almost running in a wind tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like that. It's just like that. So you don't actually go very far for a similar effort you'd put in to go a lot further outside. I mean, somebody said to me before we started the classes, someone said, oh, can I count this like in my running mileage? And I said, well, you could, but actually you won't go very far in a session. You know, we have a 45-minute session, and whereas if you went outside, you know, most people went outside for 45 minutes and ran, you know, they'd be covering several miles. In a pool, you probably would be doing, maybe half a mile, if that. But you'd be working incredibly hard in order to achieve that. So
I just think your muscles, particularly around your calf muscles, really do take a pounding.
I think people find it's their upper body actually that works harder. Yes, I mean your legs do work hard, but I think you notice it more on your upper body when you know, particularly your arms and the, I guess from the sort of twisting. Well, you want to try not to twist your body, so actually keeping yourself nice and stable is actually quite hard work.
Is this a new?
No, it isn't. It's not. No, it isn't.
Rating?
It's been around for quite a long time, but it's very. It's not often you actually find a class to do it. It's something that for a long time physiotherapists recommend, because what it's particularly good for is runners that are injured, because if you've got any kind of fracture or sprain or tear where you can't put any weight through your feet, you obviously can't run on the ground. Whereas in the pool, because you're effectively doing it in water, it's completely non-impact. So it's always been very, very popular with runners, particularly elite runners, who are injured. And so because they can't actually run outside, they actually take their training into the pool. And some of the, you know, top runners of all distances have actually, when they've been injured, that's what they revert to. They go into the pool. And they do all of their running there until they're actually recovered enough that they can actually start running outside again. But it's not usual to have a class of people doing it together. That's quite rare.
Is it proving popular?
It's been very, very popular. I think we've been doing it for, well, since the middle of August now, and it's been full every single week with a mixture. I've got a mixture of people that come. There are probably about half the people that come are currently injured and can't run outside at all at the moment, or can do very little outside. So they're coming in order to keep up their running fitness, and they're, I guess they're, you know, meeting their desire to run as well, why they can't actually run normally outside. And then I've got people who come because they want to supplement their running training with something that is, you know, it's a little bit different. It's a way of getting in some more running without having too much impact on your body. So I haven't yet had anybody come that isn't a runner at all. Everybody that's been has been, you know, a runner to some degree. But I've got, you know, I've got a track 400 meter runner who comes, and then I've got people that do long distance running. So it's a real mixture.
That's good. So,
but, and you know, the people that have been coming every week, you can really see now the improvement they've made over a couple of months. It's something, if you actually persevere with it beyond the first week and the pain of the first week, that it actually, well, you know, you can make quite a lot of progress with it.
Right at the end, we'll let you say how to contact.
Okay.
Contact you, yeah. And all. I was just sort of looking and being intrigued there, thinking it. You can always tell our sports people when they're coming in the sports hoodies, can't you? And there's Rachel trail running, and there's Richard Forest.
We live in him. He's in our house.
Good lad. Mud and Miles going very well, and a trip to the Peak District.
Yes, we've just had a trip to the Peak District. I had 17 ladies in the Peak District for a weekend. For some of them it was their
a pampered spa and
no,
white wine,
not really.
And cake.
No. We stayed in a very beautiful, very remote converted barn that was at the head of a valley. So it was quite remote, quite basic, but very nice and cosy. Basically we went running. We went out and enjoyed some of the lovely ridges that surrounded the bunkhouse where we were staying. We were very lucky where we were. We could literally go straight out the door, straight up onto the hillsides. And so we enjoyed, yeah, a longer run there on the Saturday that we were there, and then went over to visit the Longshore Estate on the other side of the Peak District for a shorter run on the Sunday for those people that wanted to get a few more miles in and enjoy the sunshine. Everybody had a great time. They did really, really well, especially, you know, there were quite a few people there who'd not done much trail running, a couple of people who hadn't done any. There were people there who ran their furthest that they'd ever run, so really nice.
It's a real sense of achievement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, a very social weekend as well. You know, lots of new friends made and lots of fun had, really.
Yes, and the wine and the cake comes into it somewhere. Yeah. It really
and
does.
We did actually have our first ever mid-run ice cream van stop, which
that's commendable.
Was a novelty.
Now it appeals.
Yes, yeah, it's getting better all the time.
Yeah.
I remember when I was training for the London Marathon, I got invited to a press weekend in Snowdonia. And I just thought there'd be a load of journalists there.
Yeah.
So you'd at the bar all night and then just chat about running and then, you know, go home. And I was right for the first night. And then the guy who was in charge said, come down tomorrow morning in your tracksuits and your trainers. And they all went on an 18-mile fell run. And me and my mate, who was a similar level, have a standard to me, just went, what the hell's this? We'll meet you in the bar.
It was only last week he left the bar. In between all that, a trip to North Devon I picked up for a part run in Barnstable, was it?
Yes, that's right. We had a weekend down there. There was a
it's
family...
It's perpetual motion for you two, isn't it? You never stop.
We're never at home. No, there was a family party on Rachel's side of the family down in North Devon, so we took the opportunity to... take him one of the local park runs there at Barnstable, and the weather was far from pleasant. You know, the wind was blowing rain horizontally
that's
across the course.
Because you was in Devon. If you'd gone that little bit further to Glasgow County,
it would have been
perfect.
Can you see the sweatshirt?
Oh, dear.
They're going to start talking about scones and jam and cream in a minute, arguing over that. But no, it was a lovely weekend. We managed to use the tent one last time before the winter, and I managed to sneak in a time trial as well on the A38 on the Sunday.
And again, it amazes me, it really does.
Sneak in?
How do you sneak in a time trial?
Well, I kind of entered it and then told her.
It's brilliant. But I dread to ask the next question. What's coming up?
Well, this weekend we're off to the Lake District.
This is...
Richard's doing his hill climb, but he's doing the hill climb because he was going to be there anyway, because I'm doing a 20-mile fell run race on Saturday, which is called the Four Passes. So it basically starts in Borrowdale and it goes over, literally over four mountain passes into the next valley and then all the way around until you're back again. So 5,000 feet of ascent all on tracks and trails around the Lake District.
Is it harder going up or down?
That is a very good question. It depends on how steep it is, basically, and what the terrain is like underfoot. It can be easier to go down, but if the rock is wet and greasy, which I'm led to believe it's going to be very wet at the weekend, then it can actually be harder going downhill because it's so, if it's very slippery or if it's very steep.
Because momentum would take over, I suppose, would it?
It can do, yes. And then you can, you actually putting your foot down, it's harder to control how your foot lands if you're going downhill at speed. So personally, I actually prefer going uphill on the whole. Because you're in more control. Yeah, you're looking horrified.
I'm totally horrified. I'm full of admiration, but absolutely horrified. So you sort of go up there together, and then you go off on your bike, and at night time, all being well.
Well, I'm hoping you're to finish done, before night time.
You're both done in one piece.
Yes, that's right. We'll meet up again in the camping pod, because we're going to be staying in one of those glamping pod things attached to Borrowdale Youth Hostel. Not done that before. So yeah, we'll meet up and have a meal in the pub, maybe a couple of pints, and then collapse into bed.
And then go hill walking the next day.
I was going to say, it's Sunday the day off, but no.
No.
It wouldn't be with you two, would it?
No, you've got to make the most of it while you're there.
How's those Scottish mountains?
Not got any further since I was last in. No, I haven't had the chance. So 2017 has not been a good year for them, but hopefully 2018 I'll get some in.
Well, something has to give, doesn't it, really? You can't do everything all the time.
It's having to work for a living. It just gets in the way.
Well, yes, I'm surprised. You get time to work.
Scotland really doesn't do football or cricket, but it does mountains, doesn't it?
Yes, very, very nice mountains.
It's got to excel at something. It really does. So, Lake District this weekend, and then you said in 2 weeks' time you may or may not be at Matlock. Is that definite yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go for it, yeah. That will be the last one. You mentioned the juniors in cyclocross earlier. I'm not a very good cyclocross rider. That's definitely my weakest suit. But I will sneak in a couple of the Lincolnshire League events because I cycle for Lincoln Wheelers. So our club hosts one at the Police HQ at Nettleham the first weekend in November. And then there's one over at Winterton near the showgrounds up in North Lincolnshire at the end of November, which I'll do.
Why aren't you very good at cyclocross? That's a basic question, I know, but it seems to whatever you turn your mind to, you do, and you do very well. But there's obviously, the way you said the cyclocross thing, there's something there that...
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have done a lot less off-road cycling, so be it mountain biking at Sherwood Pines or cyclocross, it's the skills, it's the balance, it's the technique on the more technical terrain. Give me flat tarmac and I'm fine, but when it gets a bit more testing, that's when I tend to fall off, and that's when people tend to laugh at me. That's why Rachel likes to come and watch.
Fantastic spectator sport, well worth going to watch if you get the chance.
I am known as Bambi on ice.
But you're happier on a road.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's all about challenging yourself and improving your skill set, so I'll finish further down the field, but I'll still have a laugh doing it. So,
is there any goals? I know there's the Munros. I know that, but is there any goals left for both of you that you really, in your heart of hearts, I want to do that?
Go on, you go first.
I don't know.
That's a cop out, isn't it? There you are, wife, you go. Is there any special run somewhere in the world that you would sort of say, I want to do that?
I don't know if there's one special one. There's quite a few that I fancy doing, but I couldn't say that there was one particularly special one. I've decided next year, I've got a special birthday next year, so I decided I was going to pick something special for that, which is going to be running the... I can't believe I'm saying this on air. I'm going to have to do it. There's a
make
race
a note of this quick.
No, there's a race next year, which is basically running from west to east the entire distance across Cumbria, the first 60 miles of the coast-to-coast long-distance path. So I'm going to do that next year. That will be my longest run ever, and my hilliest run, because I think there's 12,000 feet of ascent in it. So that's kind of my next immediate... big goal.
So that's your goal?
To me, yeah.
So 60 miles across Cumbria.
Yeah.
2018, that's in the diary, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yes. Richard?
Well, I mean, it's going back to the Scottish theme, but yeah. I'd love to do the North Coast 500 on a push bike.
This is what John Rawson did, and he's got to come in and tell us about it, but I'm waiting until he's done the Skeggy 10 before he does.
Absolutely, yes. John and Dave Tilley did it a few weeks ago, and you know, just seeing their pictures, it looked absolutely epic.
So that's yours. Is that for next year?
Well, I'd like it to be, and I mean, Rachel didn't mention it, but
just
there is
an ultra. Just drop off in Cumbria as you go up there.
Well, I could do that, or there's the Cape Wrath Ultra, which is, you know, a hardcore race. It literally just filled up for next year already. But, you know, that's, I think, probably... sort of on her tick list at some point, albeit it's much longer than the
company.
We're
going to keep
adventure.
In touch. We've got to find out how our Squashyfin lads got on first. Straight to the telephone lines, and while Paul Drury sleeps off his 24-hour Squashyfin, Dave Grant's made of harder stuff, and he's going to tell us about it. Dave, did you do it?
We certainly did. Good to speak with you again, Mick. Yeah, we certainly did. A lot of stiff bodies after the event, but we did it, and we raised quite a bit of money as well.
Excellent. So just... talk us through a couple of the highlights and tell us how much you raised.
Highlights was beating Paul Drury, 3-love, about five o'clock Saturday morning.
That's why he's sulking, is it?
Yeah, that's the one. It's the first time I've ever beaten him, and to be honest, we were both completely cream-cracking at that time, and so we were just swinging and hoping to hit the ball, so I can't really take much credit for it.
You take all the credit in the world. You beat him. It's there. It's in the record books.
It is, yes. No, there were some moments in the night where it was tough going, but there was eight of us that did the overnight shift, and there was great camaraderie, and we all pulled together and encouraged each other. And then at 6 in the morning, a few other people turned up, and friends and family turned up with supplies, and just really raised the spirits. So everybody pulled together, and it was great. But it really good to see people first thing in the morning after the long night.
And we should say a big thank you as well to Active for Today, who sort of... did the babysitting duties at the sports centre.
Yes,
and let you stay there all night and stayed with you.
We certainly should. Yeah, there was three members of staff on, and without them, obviously, we couldn't have done it. So, yeah, many, many thanks to Active for Today for staying open for us.
What's your figure so far, then, that you've raised?
The money's still coming in. Even on Sunday night, I was getting alerts by email that the Just Giving page had been visited again, and there was people donating £30 here and £50 there. And we estimate that in total we will have raised over £3,000, which is a pretty good thing.
That's a fantastic achievement. It's well above where you want it to be.
It certainly is, yes. We thought £1,000 would be a good target to aim for to start with. So, yeah, we've smashed that and absolutely delighted to do so.
And is it in the calendar for 2018?
Watch this space. Somebody did suggest it after the event, so we took him outside and gave him a stern talking to. I think a lot of people would be definitely up for doing that again, and to see if we can beat the target next year.
Brilliant. Dave, well done to all of you. I hope Paul does recover sooner or later and wakes up, but well done. Well done to all of you and your stunning victory over him.
Thank you very much.
And £3,000 is a fantastic figure, but... you'll know you've earned it.
Yep, we certainly do.
Good stuff. Thanks Dave.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's the Grove Squash Club there, that 24-hour squashifin they did. And at the end of the day, I think they can all be proud and pleased of their efforts, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, very much so.
I'll put your mic up and you can say that again.
Very much so.
There you go, you see.
See what you could have missed.
Oh, I And now I've learned how to put that mic down. Yeah. The business arm of Team Sheldrake then is Mud and Miles.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the business arm. So we'll do a bit of a plug for the business in the remaining sort of 4 minutes. What's it all about? How do they get in touch with you? And the aqua running as well.
Okay, so the business is basically all about teaching people how to run. So I do some group sessions of coaching people, which are on a Thursday morning in Newark and a Wednesday morning in Lincoln. So people who are either beginners to running or who have started running and would like to improve and have some coaching but aren't able to join a running club because they tend to be in the evenings, people are welcome to come along and join those. I do one-to-one coaching for people who are perhaps training for a specific event and want to have a personalised training plan with coaching support as they go along, or a personal training plan, or people who perhaps might want to have a few sessions to look at their running technique and have some guidance on what they need to do in order to improve it. So a variety of one-to-one coaching things on offer. I also do trail running weekends that we've already talked about. So for people,
including wine and gin.
Including wine and gin for people who want it, yes, although that's not provided. But yes, have trail running weekends, and those are women's only, because that's what the women who come seem to want. Sorry to Tony and Mick,
you're
looking really disappointed at this moment.
And that's the one we're going for.
So they tend to be a lovely place. We've been to the Peak District. We're going off to the Lake District in 2 or 3 weeks' time. I've got a group of ladies going to the Lake District.
Be careful, she'll have you running over the fells.
Yeah, indeed, they will be. Clumber Park in the new year. So a variety of those. And then, yes, the aqua running. And the aqua running is at Newark Sports Centre on a Monday night. It's not one of the sports centres offer classes, so it's a private class. But if people want to come, you can have a look. All of that is on my website, which is www.mudandmiles.co.uk. Or you can find me on Facebook, Mud and Miles.
It couldn't be simpler, could it? Because we go on here and www and /, and /, and lines up and down. Just put Mud and Miles into any
Absolutely,
form of media,
yep.
And you'll find
you'll
Rachel.
Find me.
Simple
yes.
as that. Mud and Miles. It can't be simpler than that. Have a go. That aqua running really does seem to be taking off.
It is though. It's great. It's going really, really well. Really popular.
Have you tried it yet, Richard?
I haven't, no.
He's not allowed.
Dust down my speedos and get down the pool on the Monday.
and give it a go.
Yes.
Well, thanks very much, you two. There's never enough time when you two come in. There really isn't. It's but you will be coming back to see us again very soon, I hope, and keep us informed and intrigued with whatever you get up to next. It's always something different, and it's always something in a gorgeous part of the country, even though you did get Devon wrong. You should have gone to Cornwall, but
we'll speak afterwards about that. Then,
okay? apart from that, no, I would never ever knock Devon, not since built the M5 straight through the middle of it. Tomorrow night is going to be a little bit special because we've got Newark sporting royalty coming in to see us. The globe trotting Julie Gray.
All right.
She's worse than you two. Has found 5 minutes in her schedule to pop into Sport Towers and tell us about her trip to the Invictus Games, the Lincoln Marathon that she took the 4A's to at the weekend, and they all performed very well, including Julie herself, who performed that well. She's been promoted 2 divisions.
Yeah.
So Julie Gray is going to pop in and see us tomorrow night. And, of course, we all love Julie. And on Thursday night, a young lady, Carla Bradbury, new to Radio Newark, coming to see us. And she's got a cracking story to tell us. And that's one that's going to resort you to tears, Tony. I guarantee it. Next, somebody who'd won't resort you. Mr. Stuart Preston.